The last Sunday I preached, I asked you the question, do you think theologically? Some of you got the wrong answer, so we're going to have a makeup quiz today. So I have the question for you. Building upon that question, do you think theologically? So the question we're going to look at today is, do you long for heaven? Do you long for the time when you will leave this world and be with God for all eternity? Got an answer? All right, good. I ask this because we humans are bizarre creatures. For those of you who are reading our book club book, The Screwtape Letters, yes, that was a shameless plug. In the 8th letter, the senior demon Screwtape writes to his nephew, Wormwood. He writes this about human beings. He says, humans are amphibians, half spirit and half animal. As spirits, they belong to the eternal world, but as animals, they inhabit time. So we do live in two worlds, in two realities. We love our temporal lives right here and right now, and all the wonderful people that God has put in our lives, and all the wonderful material gifts that God has given us. But we should also have an intense longing to leave this world, to leave the people here, hopefully they'll be with us in heaven, and to be with our God. But at times this reality can seem to contradict one another, but in fact they don't. Sometimes it can be a little bit confusing as we live out these two lives, if you will. A story that exemplifies this is a story one of my brother priests tells. He talks about a time when he went to go visit a man in the hospital. This man was in his early 40s, and barring a miracle, he only had weeks to live. So the man was talking to my priest friend, and his son was there, a young son. And every so often, he would send the son out, say, son, I need to talk to father. Go out in the hallway for a minute. Son would leave. The man would bawl his eyes out. Then he would compose himself, call his son back in. They talk for a while. Then again, he sent his son out into the hallway. Again, he bawled his eyes out. My priest friend is sort of like, kind of weird. So the third time he sent his son out, he said, can I ask what's going on here? The man said, I don't want my son to see me cry. I don't want my son to think that my faith is weak. So this priest said, may I borrow your Bible? He got it. He opened it up to today's gospel, John's gospel. And he said, look right here. It says, and Jesus wept. This was an epiphany for this man to learn or to see that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, cried over death. The man called his son back in, gave him a great big hug, and started to bawl his eyes out. And his son did the same thing. With this gesture, both worlds, the temporal and the eternal, were validated. But if heaven is our ultimate goal, and we cannot get there unless we die, why do we cry at death? We cry because sorrow is a human emotion. Sorrow recognizes that something that is good is missing. In today's gospel, Jesus has sorrow because Lazarus is dead. His friend, whom we are told he loves, is dead. And those three beautiful words, and Jesus wept, come right out of the scriptures. We humans were not created to die. We were created to live. However, the last Sunday I preached, we talked about this with the original sin, that death entered into the human condition. There's another time in the scriptures where Jesus weeps. In Luke 19, we're told that he's looking over Jerusalem, and we're told that he cries over the sins of Jerusalem. The people of God, God's chosen people, had sinned, had walked away from their God. And as a result, we see Christ crying over their sins. So although this world is a beautiful gift from God, and all that we see is good? Our sins, our suffering, and our death are part of that world, and there is sorrow over this. But this is where our spiritual nature comes into play. In today's gospel, Jesus Christ is continuing to reveal his divinity to his apostles and his followers. He says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." By saying, "I am," Jesus is using the divine name in reference to himself. When Moses says to God, "Okay," after they negotiate for a while, "I will go to Egypt, I will go to Pharaoh," he says, "What name should I give Pharaoh when he asks me?" God says, "My name is I am." Jesus is taking that name in reference to himself. He goes one step further and says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Well, those are divine attributes. Only God can raise from the dead. So Christ is saying, "I have that divine power." So Jesus, to prove that he's neither a liar nor a lunatic, then turns around and says, "Look, to prove to you that I have this power, I'm going to call Lazarus, a man who's been dead for 4 days, to come out of the tomb." And Lazarus does. This is the gospel. This is the good news, that whoever believes in Jesus Christ, even if he dies, will live. So we are born into this world, but we long to be born again into the next. So Screwtape was right when he wrote to Wormwood, "Humans are amphibians, half spirit and half animal. And these natures are not opposed to each other, but beautifully complement each other." So that gets us back to our question. Do you long for heaven? Well, to help us answer that question, I'll give you a spiritual exercise that you can do over the next week or so to look at those relationships that we have to make sure that we do long for heaven. The first relationship we have to look at is our relationship with God. God isn't just something that we'll get to when our life is over. That relationship has to be right now. It has to be a very active relationship, a very loving relationship, a very intentional relationship. Think about when one of your beloved is at a distance far away. You think about him. You long for her. You can't wait for that time that you're back together again. Well, our relationship with God should have those same feelings, those same thoughts for us, saying, yes, we long for that, to be united with our beloved. Our longing for God also helps in our relationships now with each other. Because Jesus said, love God, but then neighbor as self. So we ask ourselves, what do our relationships look like with our spouse, with our family, with our neighbors, our coworkers, all those people that God puts in our lives? What do those relationships look like? The greatest gift we can share with them is that gift of God, that gift of eternal life, helping them to grow in their relationship with God. Now, what about the activities we partake in? How do we fill our days? Do we do things and activities that help us grow in holiness, help us grow in virtue, help us grow in our love and knowledge of God and neighbor? Or do we allow them to take us away from God and neighbor? Finally, what about those crosses that we're all asked to carry in our lives? As a result of sin, as a result of just life, we see that we live in a fallen world. And at times we're asked to carry those crosses. So ask ourselves, do we unite those crosses with the cross of Christ? Christ said, "I will take my cross so that you can live." So at times we too are going to struggle in this life, but God can redeem anything. The same way he redeemed his death, he can redeem our suffering. So if we long for eternal life with God, the way we live our life today should be radically changed. So do you long for heaven? Do you long for that time that you will be united with God? Yes, we love everything that God has given us. We love all the relationships that we have. We love all that God asks us to do right here, right now. But we should always be thinking of that perfect relationship, that perfect union with God in heaven.